Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Whether or not British American Tobacco is defensive is an interesting debate. Personally, I'm not convinced that buying a dividend yield into a sunset industry is the smartest idea, especially when companies like AB InBev exist. It seems that beer is not the most price-sensitive product around, with revenue growth in the latest quarter of 13.2% and volumes up by 0.9%, which means almost all the growth came from price. But critically, despite inflation, volumes were still up year on year. Alcohol is defensive, even if there is a bit of a COVID hangover in the base. But it makes me wonder whether cigarettes are then the smarter choice here. In particularly impressive news out of AB InBev, normalized EBITDA margin expanded by 13 basis points to 33.5%. Over the past year, the British American Tobacco share price is slightly down, whereas AB InBev is up over 30%. Maybe it's time to think about which one is more defensive after all. Having just returned from a Garden Route road trip to watch the Simola Hill climb in Knysna, my favourite motorsport event on the South African calendar, it was impossible not to notice all the Wimpies en route and the occasional Mug and Bean. Famous Brands is a well-named group, as the brands are mostly household names, including the likes of Steers and Debonairs as well. The company reckons that load shedding isn't doing it any favours, but I disagree, as I know that many people are being forced into buying takeouts when they don't have electricity at home for cooking. The numbers seem to support that view, with HEPS for the year ended February up by between 27% and 47%. That's exceptional, especially in a period of inflationary pressures. There would have been COVID disruptions in the base, so I'll wait until full results are out later in May to see exactly where this result was achieved. The share price has been incredibly choppy over the past year, up 11% overall, but with a 52-week range that requires a much stronger stomach for investors than the food. Speaking of strong numbers, Calgro M3 might be down 25% over the past year, but the results are telling a different story. HEPS for the year ended February will be between 40% and 50% higher, which puts the construction company on a price-earnings multiple of just 2x. That tells you a lot about how much trust the company needs to regain with an investment community that has suffered a declining value of nearly 80% over 5 years. These are the sorts of opportunities that value investors look out for, although deep analysis is required of far more than just the income statement. Calgro is taking advantage of the depressed share price to execute extensive share buybacks, which is exactly the right thing to be doing. CMH doesn't sell the kinds of cars that I was watching in Knysna. Those are custom-built performance machines, although CMH's profitability is quite the performance machine itself. I'm astounded that there are so many South Africans who can buy new cars in this environment, especially with rising interest rates. After a massive 2022 financial year in a low interest rate environment, I really didn't think that the company could materially improve on that performance in 2023, but I was wrong. The car retail business has performed well once more, with the car rental business putting in a huge recovery as tourism returned to our shores. I'm sure it helps that Uber is as reliable these days as Transnet, with numerous complaints on Twitter about people being unable to find safe Ubers like they used to be able to do without a problem. Whatever the reasons for the underlying growth, the even more interesting story at CMH is to compare the revenue and operating profit contributions of the two major segments. Car rental only contributes 7% of revenue, but a whopping 43% of profit before tax. Dare I say it, at the risk of being wrong yet again, how will CMH meaningfully improve on a 2023 performance that has seen HEPS grow by over 23% in this environment? I continuously remind investors that the poultry industry is not for chickens. Eskom is worse than a dry chicken breast for Astral Foods, hammering margins and driving substantial swings in profitability. The problem is that margins are skinny in this industry on a good day, so a relatively modest-looking change in gross profit margin can literally double or halve net profit, depending on the direction. This is the law of small numbers, and you need to be very careful of any company that has low net profit margins and the ability for gross margin to vary significantly. For the 6 months ended March, Astral Foods expects headline earnings per share to decrease by between 87% and 92%. The company is profitable, but only just. On the subject of small numbers, another theme that I often touch on is that grocery businesses are not as defensive as investors think. Gross margin is a roll-up of the numerous underlying product categories, and margin varies drastically. Retailers are not making the same on a lettuce as they are making on clothing, shampoo, or even the occasional sale of a TV. When consumers are under pressure and the basket ends up with more basic goods than before, gross margin can come under pressure. When you add in the pain of load shedding, and especially stage 6 with hours on end of generators needing to run fridges, profitability can very quickly look like that cheese you forgot at the bottom of your fridge for 3 months, sad and moldy. The Pick n Pay share price is starting to look rather green and furry itself, down over 30% in the past 12 months. In stark contrast, ShopRite is flat. That is a huge difference for two companies that are arch rivals with similar underlying economic drivers. ShopRite is doing a better job of squeezing out profits at the moment, with Pick n Pay only managing 8.9% growth in turnover for the 52 weeks to 26 February, and a 4.9% decrease in trading profit because of huge pressure on expenses. Although businesses like Boxer and Pick n Pay Clothing are posting strong revenue growth, it's just not enough to save the group result. To put further pressure on the share price, the dividend payout ratio will drop going forward, as the group is being forced to reinvest in its business as part of the Ekuseni strategic plan. I just wonder how long it will be until it gets called what it actually is, a turnaround plan in the core Pick n Pay grocery business. I'll end off with a small cap, Santova. This is a great example of how you can find small and interesting businesses on the JSE that are expanding globally. The share price has achieved a 5-year compound annual growth rate of over 21%, which is exceptional. This has been supported by earnings growth, with the company thoroughly enjoying the supply chain crunch that was a feature of the pandemic. For any businesses involved in the supply chain industry, this has been a great time in the world. Although this is obviously a cyclical industry, Santova has put in a lot of work to try and diversify its operations, including geographically. While that is happening, shareholders can celebrate growth in headline earnings per share for the 12 months to February 2023 of between 19.1% and 24.1%. Based on the midpoint of earnings guidance, the company is trading on a price earnings multiple of roughly 5x. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.